Welcome back. We have Brittany here again with us today, and we're going to review some written in letters and emails that we've gotten of some horror stories from other sites.
I'm Anna.
I'm Alexandria.
And this is The Tea in STEM.
Anna, do you want to start off by reading us the first story?
Yeah, okay. So way back in the day, I had a CRA that it wasn't just one time this happened. It was every time. This gentleman was not elderly, right? He was like late 30s, early 40s. He'd been doing this for a long time, but he requested a silence hour after around lunchtime. So like 12:30 to like 1:30, he would shut the door where he was doing his monitoring, which was in our lunchroom, by the way. And he would shut the door and it would be his quiet time. He was sleeping.
A little siesta?
Yeah, he took midday naps. It wasn't until like maybe a couple of months into it that one of the other coordinators was like, dude, you hear that?
And I'm was like, he snoring?
Yes! He was snoring. And I was like, oh my God, where's that coming from? I thought it was like the air conditioned unit or something. And we opened his silent time door and he is like hanging out of his chair, mouth open, not even like comfortably on the table. His silent time was his midday naps.
Maybe I should start implementing a silent time. That sounds great.
Hey, your lunch hour, you do whatever you want to do. Yeah. That is your time. But now when you're a monitor, that is my time. That is my lunchroom that we were kicked out of.
That is true. And they stay here longer because you spent an hour sleeping.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that's my first horror story. Alexis, go ahead.
Okay, so this one, let's see. I'm going to summarize this written story for you guys. They had a monitor who they could not get a hold of. And they said that they kept trying to call him, email him for weeks on end. And he was just not getting back to this site. And so they end up, you know, going through the chain of command, finding his boss or whoever else they could find in emails and on the contact sheets to call. Called that person because it ended up being an urgent matter. The patient was there. They needed guidance on something. The CRA calls this coordinator back about 30 minutes later and yells at them.
Wait a minute. But this coordinator was trying to get a hold of that CRA in the first place.
I agree.
And they were unattainable.
And I don't think there's anything wrong personally with going up that chain of command. Because monitors travel a lot. Right. They have so many different reasons why they might not be accessible in that moment.
Yeah.
But for weeks on end, they should have gone up that chain even sooner, I would say. I have no patience. I'm like you have a couple hours, maybe a day or two kind of person. It depends on the problem. But apparently he called back and started yelling and going off of this coordinator about how dare they.
Dare they what? Talk to their boss?
And how dare they talk to anyone else but him, and they better only talk to him. So she goes on in this story to say that eventually he got replaced by a different monitor.
Wait, did she complain or something, or she just took it on the chin?
It looks like they just took it, and eventually he got replaced.
Oh, for something else?
Yeah, just like got reassigned. There was no specific thing about it. But then the new monitor came in, comes for the first in-person visit. And keep in mind that old monitor, she said, hadn't been there for months. Had missed all their scheduled CRA visits, wasn't coming out. They said that they had sent multiple emails asking him to come out for visits, and he wasn't, saying that they weren't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
New CRA comes out and finds all these issues. And it's like, why have none of these monitor letters been addressed or signed or anything like that? And the site was like, what monitor letters? They haven't been out here for months.
That's insane.
And the new series, like, what are you talking about? Here's a stack of monitor letters that we have filed on the sponsor's side.
Okay, hold on a minute. So people that don't know, before a monitor comes out to your site, they write you this letter saying, hey, these are things that are outstanding that we need to get resolved. And thank you so much for your time. And then they give you a post-visit letter that says, I was able to resolve all these issues. Everything looks good up to this date or whatever, so be it. So you're saying that the new monitor came out and was reading off all these letters that the CRA or the CRC, the coordinator, never had seen before of all these issues and problems.
Right. So the CRA, sounds like the CRA was just making up
the letters, pretending like they were there.
So that they could get paid for coming out to the site, because they get paid for the travel and the time to come out to the site and everything. And so they were faking letters and not at all involved with the site.
Holy moly.
And so the site had to prove this by going back and finding all those emails where they were asking him to come out and he was saying no. to prove that all of these were fake letters. And they were like, none of the issues that were even in the letters had to do really with anything at the site. Like, he was just making stuff up.
So here's another question. When monitors come out to the site, they have to sign a logbook that shows that they were here today. And then somebody from the site has to sign also saying that, yep, I witnessed you here today.
Right.
Where was the logbook for this guy?
Probably not filled out or faked on that side. They didn't note on it. I mean, the only thing I could imagine is if they faked it and filed it with the sponsor.
And not with the site.
But not with the site.
Right.
But then that's...
You must have been forging some signatures then.
Yeah, you must have been barred. I don't know.
That is a good story.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's a terrible story.
That's crazy.
And it's good that they caught it. And I mean, imagine if... an audit came in and was comparing the sponsor's documentation to the site's or things like that. That could be really bad.
Yeah, but whose fault is that? It'd have to be the sponsor's side fault.
Yeah.
Right? It wouldn't be on the site. They had no control over the...
Yeah, you don't know what they're saying to the sponsor. Like, you only know what you know and what you have.
Oh, my gosh. Brittany, give us another story. What happened to somebody that emailed you?
All right. Same thing. I'm just going to try to condense this. So this person wrote in about a time they had just taken over a new study from another CRC. They were brand new, pretty new in research. And they were helping the doctor do a study injection. Doctor notices that the medication looks a little crystallized. It looks weird. He doesn't know what to do. So he calls his contacts in the sponsor because, you know, doctors often have really high up contacts. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of jumped the gun and contacted somebody way high up in the sponsor level and told them, like, hey, your drug looks weird. Come to find out that the previous CRC was storing the IP incorrectly from the very beginning of the study.
What?
So the CRA horror story comes in where this new CRC, wanted to get in front of it. We don't want to hide anything. If something happens, you report, you tell them, hey, what can we do?
Yeah.
What do we do from here?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. So reach out to the CRA, and since the previous coordinator wasn't there anymore, they were doing their own investigation, from the site end, and the CRA essentially said, don't worry about it. You don't need to tell anybody.
What? The monitor,
right.
The CRA,
right.
Told the site, hush, hush, don't tell anybody about the spoiled drug.
That's what it says here. And apparently it was found out that the previous CRC had been sending the temp logs to the monitor from the beginning of the study. And this monitor did not mention anything. It was supposed to be, I think they said it was supposed to be ambient, but it was in the refrigerator. And this CRA never noticed that the temp logs they were sending them.
So the CRA realized she was the one in trouble.
Right.
Well, and was like, hey, shush, I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah, like she's trying to cover it up.
And the thing that nipped this CRA in the bud was the doctor went straight to the sponsor. And the doctor was the one that found that it was being stored incorrectly with the sponsor on the phone.
Oh,
so the sponsor knew. Mm-hmm. And the whole site was just trying to get all their ducks in a row, do their own investigation on their end, see what happened, what went wrong, reached out to the CRA to see what they knew. Mm-hmm. And that's when the CRA came in and said, hey, it's fine.
Oh my
gosh. No worries.
No worries. Does your letter there, did they tell you whatever happened to that drug or to that doctor or to that CRA?
So it says here that they got, they got a little audit to...
A little audit.
A little tiny sprinkle audit. and it was... And then at the end of the day, that CRA got replaced.
Yeah.
Not unsurprisingly, because it was very obvious from the sponsor end and from the site end that the CRA just was not intending to do anything about it.
Yeah, they weren't doing their job.
Right.
From the beginning. Yeah.
They looked at the temp logs from the beginning, confirmed that the CRA got those temp logs from the beginning, and the CRA never said anything.
Ooh. So I bet that's why some of these sponsors ask us to send the temp logs to like a third party. I wonder if it's, you know, something like this had happened and that's why they do it.
That's so much more work though. Like rather than just training your CRAs
to do it correctly. You are only as strong as your weakest member.
Yeah.
Right? We know this.
But rather than that, you're asking sites to send a different temp log for every study to a different third party.
Yeah.
It's like a lot more room for error than training one person.
Oh, amen. That's so true. Okay. So I've got one here from my good old buddy. And she tells us a story about a terrible CRA. She didn't really realize what was happening until, like, hindsight, till after the situation. But it did kind of screw up their flow. So this monitor came in who was hired by a third-party CRO company. Okay, so it's like one of your big CRO companies. And they were working on their study, but the CRA, the monitor, she was never available to talk to the coordinator. She was always on the phone or in the middle of something, I'll get right to you, right?
Okay.
And so then they came up with this whole flow of just leave me sticky notes. Just send me an email or leave me sticky notes on the paper binder and let me know what to fix, you know, because they couldn't communicate in person.
Mm-hmm.
So by the third time she's there, she's noticing like, dang it, she's on the phone again. Like, how long is she on the phone for? So maybe she eavesdropped a little bit. And she realized that this monitor was doing a presentation of a different study to a different site remotely. And she's like, okay, well, that's weird. I mean, sometimes our monitors have to take phone calls from other sites while they're here on our at our site.
Right.
But she said that it was a full-on presentation, and it was about 2 hours long.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't these things scheduled? Was she working for another CRO?
So then she comes back for her next visit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been presented the books and the coordinator's like, listen, we need a scheduled time to talk. You are impossible to get in touch with via email, over the phone, whatever. Here's these books and it doesn't look like you've looked at any of this data. And way back in the day, and it still happens now too, you don't get paid unless the monitor has closed your pages in EDC and marked them as monitored. She was almost like 6 months of visits behind.
Oh my gosh.
Of monitoring, right? But apparently she's been there every, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. So she's like, I promise I'm going to get to all this today. I'm 100% focused on you. You know, my company just keeps me oh so busy. And she's like, yeah. Okay, let's just get this. Let's just knock this out, right?
Right.
Door closes behind her. Can't get in to talk to her for another like hour and a half. She's on a phone call. She's doing another presentation. She's not sure if it's an SIV or what it is, but it's definitely via slide deck, and there's a group of people there while she's having this conversation. This slips into the end of her shift, and she's like, you need to wrap this up. I'm not going to wait around for you all day. Like, I've got to go. You've got to go. There's nobody else here. It's time to go.
Yeah.
Right? So she causes her to be late for one of the days. This leads her into, like, this spiral of frustration. She goes and looks up this monitor on LinkedIn and finds out that she has started her own company as a CRA, as a monitor. So she's an independent contractor while she's working for a CRO company at the same time.
Don't most big companies like that keep you that busy have like rules about that?
I don't know. I would love to ask a monitor about it.
Working at the same time.
She was working for this CRO company and she was managing three different protocols. So she probably had like, you know, 14 to 20 sites. And then she had her own private company where she was hired by a different pharmaceutical company to be the monitor for their study.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she was double dipping. And so time that she's being charged for being at our site or this, you know, this lady's site doing their stuff, she's doing it for another site on top of it for something else.
Oh my goodness.
That she's scheduling hours. Can you imagine that though? Imagine how much she made. That's like, think about it.
True.
Let's say she's getting paid like $60 an hour to work for the CRO company. Now as a private CRA, she's making like $100 an hour.
Yeah.
And she's doing it all in the same time. That's big money right there.
And I can only assume, and I'm assuming, I really don't know, mm-hmm. that you probably charge more when you're on site than virtual.
I don't know how the charging thing works or if they're just salaried or what they are.
I don't know either.
But as a private company, she could probably charge whatever she wanted to the sponsor.
Yeah, that's true.
That is wild.
I thought so. I thought that was a pretty good story.
So I got one more here for you guys.
Okay.
There was a monitor, and this monitor, sometimes monitors will make copies of different documents, whether that's to use them as, like, a checkoff. Like, mm-hmm. if they're reviewing certain things and want to be able to write on it, and then they get destroyed afterwards, the copies, or sometimes they used to have to make copies and take them back before scanning was, you know,
really allowed.
Allowed mm-hmm. and a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This monitor was taking copies of different items that she was allowed to take copies of, allegedly. But most of the time, we're not watching the monitors 24/7.
I know.
And that was the case with this coordinator. The monitor mm-hmm. was in their own room with the copy machine and was told, you know what? You know what the rules are. You're a monitor. Let me know when you need me. And then a few weeks later, they go to fill out their drug log to update it with some new information. And they're like, hey, this is weird. It doesn't look normal. It looks like a copy.
How could they tell?
I guess the way that, like, the lines were on it, or, like, the way that the ink looked, like, you could tell when
yeah, right, like, you can't feel it. Yeah. Like, embossed, I guess it is. Yeah,
they don't go into detail on how they figured it out, like, the whole process of it, but it turned out it was copies.
Oh my gosh.
So they're like, what the F? What am I supposed to do? Where are my real drug logs? Are they here? Because, you know, you don't want to call up your monitor and just start accusing them of stuff. So they go
or make it
diving.
Sound like you lost your source.
Yeah. So, of course, you always blame yourself first. And they're like, we lost it. And so they start going through everything. And they're like, there's no way. Why would we have copies of this in here? Who even made these copies? Because drug
logs. We would never do that.
Are not one of those things that you take copies of.
Yeah, no. And I don't think there's ever been a time where I've made a photocopy of my drug log.
No.
Mm-mm.
And then it turns out they reach out to the monitor and like, by any chance, did you take some copies? And they're like, oh, yeah, here, I've got all these copies of, like, drug logs and this and that. Mm. And they're like, dude, you have the originals. The monitor took home with her all the original drug logs.
Oh, my God.
Okay, was this a genuine mistake, though? Just curious. Was she doing something weird?
It made it sound like it was because the monitor was like, here, have them back. Like, so sorry. But I guess that this monitor wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Like, just overall, there was a lot of weird inconsistencies, things being put back funny, different things that they felt like they couldn't trust. They listed in here that at one point the monitor asked them to destroy drug and didn't want to give the site a chance to do their own double check before destruction. She put it in
sketchy.
A box and said, no, just ship it off. And then,
like, I promise you, there's 60 in here and it's all the ones that are on your list for destruction.
And then that site's SOP was to double count. So they said, no, we're going to pull it out. And even though the monitor fought against it, they did. And their count was off by like 16 boxes.
That's a lot.
So it was all these little things that maybe not weren't malicious, but that weren't trustworthy. And the site was just like, nope, not going to do it anymore. So they do see on here that they did report this one.
Oh, good.
That they called her boss and reported it. And the boss was basically like, well, what do you want us to do? We can just assign you a new monitor and assign her to a different site. And they said that they decided to keep her on, but just put her in a room without any access to copy machines and where they could visually see her the entire day.
Okay. So she was like a decent monitor. Yeah. She just gone and fucked up a little
bit. Yeah, a lot of it.
I was always, when I first started clinical research, my manager told me, like, we do not let our monitors, you know, use the copy machine. They have to ask you. And I was like, oh, okay. And now hearing this story, I'm like, I can see how that saves your butt a little bit.
I do appreciate that, though. Like, hey, can I actually get these copied? I mean, we're all electronic for our reg.
Right.
So it's like you can download your own damn copy if you want to.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that when they ask me if I can do it for them.
Especially when it's not sponsored documents.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the DOA. Things like source or progress notes. Things like that that are.
No,
data?
They don't get copies of those.
No.
There's no reason.
You get one chance to look at it and you better make sure it looks good. My source.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of stuff on there that, you know, is ours. Like, we're the ones who created it. It's our property, our processes, our, you know, formula of how we build our source. Like, that's what people charge money for.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to take it and who knows what you do with it, show it to another site to help them build source.
Yeah.
We could get paid for that.
I know. We made that mistake once.
Yeah.
I won't do that again. Brittany, it looks like you have one more story there.
This one's a pr- pretty short one. It's short and sweet, but I think it just falls into general practice with CRAs. And there was a particular CRA that supposedly patients began to complain about because he wore, and I quote, an ungodly amount of cologne.
Oh, can we start singing Smelly Cat now? Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat.
And then I have another one also that, if we have a little bit of time,
yeah,
which is also pretty short, kind of similar to the last one, this person took over a study and a new CRA was assigned in the process. So a new CRA was assigned in the process and the CRC left. This all kind of happened at the same time. And the new CRA and the new CRC figured out that the previous CRC and previous CRA must have had some kind of agreement going where, like, the CRA was filling in blanks and source for her. You know, where they're like, hey, there's some data here missing, or hey, you didn't fill out this line, but the CRA would go in and just fill things in for her.
Like do her job.
I don't know. I mean,
or they were just being overly partnered.
Or yeah, like being like too friendly. In clinical research, that's definitely something you have to toe the line with, is you know, being too personable to the point where you're almost giving them handouts. And I think that's what was happening here. Was that relationship, those lines got blurred, and it was like, oh, you know what? I'll help you out. Like, I think I know what's supposed to be here, so I'm just going to write it in for you, which is insane, because the CRA should not be touching writing directly
on the source. Alexandra and I had an audit way back in the day, like many moons ago, and the auditor was like, who wrote this on your IP log? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And we're like, what does that say? And he's like, you can't read your own writing? I go, that's not my writing. We had a strong rule that even though blue and black ink are allowed, blue ink was not allowed. It was a signature of one of our docs that only did blue ink. So we just made a rule that we were always black. I'm like, we don't write in blue. And we looked at it and we're like, holy crap. He filled out part of our IP log, like made corrections on our IP log. And not the little cute corner where it says CRA to verify with initials and date.
Right.
Like the amount of pills that were brought back, he made corrections on. And we couldn't verify those corrections because they were already destroyed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So we're like, I can't tell you if there was two pills in that vial or not. What I marked down originally is what was approved. And I don't know now. It was destroyed already.
That's crazy.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That was shady as shit.
And us freaking out, being like, whose handwriting is this? And who used a blue pen?
Yeah.
And then we were like,
oh my gosh.
No, they didn't.
Oh, they did.
Ugh.
Oh, they did. I want to close out with saying that our CRAs, our monitors, they're our partners in research, right?
Oh, yeah.
We don't fight against them. They don't want to fight with us about this, that, or the other thing. We go through this study hand in hand together, and it should be that way. And I think now where we're at, we don't have a bad monitor to speak of.
Nope.
Or a horror story currently or within the last 2 years, because we've changed our mindsets of like, no, we are doing this together. And we've been considered a very good site because of all the information we take in from our monitors and make it a good study. So I hope that other sites that are listening, that you have that same mentality. But do share us your trashy stories about your trashy CRAs, because we ain't all built the same.
Yeah. Everyone loves spilling some tea.
Yeah.
Right, this is the tea and STEM.
That's a perfect way to close out. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope to hear more from you about more crazy stories.
And subscribe. Thanks.